I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your kindness and your peace. Now, Father, let your Spirit teach us today. Let your Spirit be the great revealer today. Let your Spirit prepare our hearts, being ready to receive the very truth that you want to give us today. I pray that today would not just be a day where it was just another Sunday at church, but rather it would be a day where we are illuminated to the great truth of who you are. And it would inspire, not just inspire, but it would encourage us to trust you even more. Father, give us reasons today, more and more, yet again and again, to trust you. We love you and we thank you. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning once again, Christ Church. We are so glad and excited to have you guys here today. As Sierra said, there's a lot going on. So make sure you check out the website. Make sure you download the Christ Church app. Or make sure you go ahead and grab yourself a bulletin that's for you guys in the back. Keep up to date on everything. You don't want to miss anything at all. This is your first time here. Welcome. This is your second time here. Welcome back. We're glad to have you. And as Sierra said, yes, we're going to be continuing in the sermon series that we started last week. And the series title is The Names of God. And what we're doing in this sermon series, we are studying the names of God, of how God, over time, in particular the Old Testament, even though I know a lot of people don't like reading the Old Testament because it gets a little scary at times and people get a little bit afraid of some of the things that are brought up. But throughout time, God has revealed himself to humanity, the transcendent, omnipotent God has revealed himself to humanity, and he's revealing himself still today. Not anything different, but he's revealing what he's always been and who he always will be. And we feel like studying the names of God, what it does is it boosts our trust in God. There are some of us in this room today, we need more reasons to trust God, right? Life has been life, right? Life has been a little bit shaky and chaotic just with everything going on, whether it's personally or whether it's politically or whatever, the climate that's going on in your life, right? And what we're going to see is that the names of God gives us reason to trust God. And so that's what we're going to be doing for the next several weeks. And we are in week two of our installment of The Names of God. Before we get into the next name that we're going to be studying today, you know, one thing that I realize is life has a way of humbling you. Guys, ever been there before where you just been humbled and you didn't know you needed to be humbled? Anybody ever been there before? Life has a way of reminding you you're not where you need to be or you're not where you used to be. I had this very bright idea to go and play 5-on-5 basketball with a bunch of dudes at the rec center. Now, here's the thing. I guarantee this. When I was on the court, the other 9 guys, all these guys were probably born in like 2008. And I learned, and hold on, don't laugh too, just relax, okay? And I learned very quickly I was the only guy that was born in the 80s at the time. I was like, you know, kind of looking around like, these guys look mighty, mighty young. Am I the only one with gray out here? Like, what is going on? And so the game starts. Now, mind you, I only made one game. Only made it through one game. That's it. And the game starts, and I learned very quickly that there's a reason why the Lord made the Stairmaster, and that's where he wants me to go, is to be on the Stairmaster and to be on the elliptic. There's a reason why the Lord created a treadmill. And he's like, listen, it's for you now, son. And so I learned very quick that I am not the young buck that I, you know you're getting old when one of the kids comes up to you and says, hey, are you okay, man? And I'm like, shut up, okay? Shut up, little dude, all right? I hope you end up in jail. No, that's not what I thought. That's what, yeah. Anyway, right, I was humbled. And then very after the game, I was in pain, right? And listen, just playing one game of 5-on-5, probably like a 20-minute game. I was in pain. I was sore. And my pain and soreness, revealed to me that it's time to retire officially, right? It revealed to me that the only time I'm gonna play basketball is if I'm by myself in the gym and I'm have this imagination that I'm playing 5-on-5 somewhere else. But the one thing that I'm gonna do is avoid doing that, and I'm gonna retire from basketball officially. But I found it interesting that pain, like the aches that I was experiencing, revealed a lot to me, right? I realized that in that moment, that the pain that I was experiencing, the pain of my knees, they was getting inflamed. I had to go home and take some Motrin, and the pain of my back and the pain of the shoulder and the elbows, I was having pain in areas I didn't know you can get hurt, right? Right? Pain, though it is uncomfortable, it can be very telling, right? Pain, though a lot of us love to avoid it, a lot of us hate that we have to experience it, but it can be very revealing, right? It can be very revealing, and I think the one thing that pain reveals the most is that there is a need for healing, right? Right, when you experience pain, and you're gonna realize in just a little bit, I don't mean a physical pain like a stomach ache or a headache or a head cold or anything like that. But when you and I experience pain, there's a revelation. There's something that's happening that's telling us there's something that needs to be healed. And what we're gonna do today is that we're gonna see that there is great blessings in our pain. That there's a great blessing when it comes to the pain that we experience. Now, the secular view of pain, or more of a skeptic, atheist view of pain, would say, none of this matters. You don't matter. You just were created from stardust. It doesn't matter. All this leads to nothing. The powerful always overrule the weak and all of that. But I believe, not just because of what the scripture says, I believe life in general tells us there's more to what I'm experiencing in this moment, especially when it comes to the pain we experience. Because if we all can search deep down within, we all have pain somewhere in our lives, right? We all have pain, and that pain may be a physical pain, right? Maybe a condition that you have, an autoimmune disease, right? Some of your body is failing you, and you wake up every single day. There's not a day that goes by where you're not experiencing and feeling some type of pain. Or maybe there are some of us in this room today that we experience emotional pain, the pain of loneliness, the pain of being by myself, the pain of feeling overlooked, the pain of not feeling appreciated or valued in my life. Maybe there's mental pain. Some of you, there's not a day that goes by where you're not anxious about something. You're anxious about something every moment. And one moment is good, but next you know you're back to the moment that you don't like, right? There's mental pain, right? There's also, and probably that cuts a little bit deeper for a lot of us, there's relational pain. Because I guarantee whether you're watching online or watching at a later date, or watching with us in person right now, we've all had people that have cut us and wounded us deeply. Yeah. We've all had people that didn't show up. We've all had people that have damaged us to a certain degree. There's all sorts of pain. Heck, there's even religious pain, right? I'm always hearing stories about church hurt. I'm always hearing stories about how their previous church did X, Y, and Z, and they spoke about something that was going on in their lives, and they didn't like what was being said, or the pastor or the leader or whoever it may be was a bit abusive or and whatnot, and it has skewed their view of God and Christianity, right? Right? Wherever you are on that spectrum of pain, there's one thing that pain is speaking loudly. And the pain is not this, that something's wrong with you. See, we often like to always think that the pain we experience, that there's something wrong with you, right? And therefore, we jump to this mindset, and we start to now say to ourselves, well, there's something wrong with me, and then that creates more pain. That creates more pain in our lives. But today, I want you to see that pain can be a great blessing in your life. And I want you to know that God knows and desires to enter into your pain, whatever it may be, to reveal his great power and his purpose. Because I want you to know this, and this is, if you're taking down notes, this is our whole idea of today's sermon. Pain is the pathway to experience God's healing power. Pain is the pathway to experience God's healing power. If there's one thing God wants to do in the midst of your pain today, is that he wants to heal you. He wants to bring healing in your life. So in our second installment, we're going to be studying this new name that relates to this great reality when it comes to healing. Now, we're going to be studying Exodus 15, verses 22 to 27. But right now, I'm just going to focus only right now on verse 26 to kind of introduce to us how God has revealed himself to us today. Let's go ahead and look at chapter 15, beginning in verse 26. Now it says this is God speaking to the nation of Israel. He says that if you would listen carefully to my voice, to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his eyes, and pay attention to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, then I will not bring on you any of the diseases I afflicted on the Egyptians. Look at this. This is where we're at today. This is where we're studying. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. Now, if you weren't with us last week, I'm going to talk to you about kind of what we talked about. If you were with us, then we're going to do a little bit of a recap. Last week, we talked about, keep that verse up for him, Alex. We talked about that word, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D. This is the English translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh. Yahweh, right? They were just singing that song, Jireh. Like that name, Yahweh, is the sacred name of God. It is how God has revealed himself. So sacred, there are Jews and Hebrews that won't even use this name because this name carried such great weight and value in their culture, right? Right? And for our translation sake, we would translate it capital L-O-R-D. And the purpose of seeing God as Yahweh or Lord is to see him as the self-existing one. He is the only God. Right? He is God and God alone. But what we're going to be studying is how God reveals himself in different characteristics, right? And his characteristics, it reflects his being. Last week, we talked about Yahweh Jireh, right? The Lord is our provider. This week, we're talking about Yahweh. You ready? Yahweh Rapha. Everybody say it with me. Yahweh Rapha. Now, if you're a Hebrew, you would probably say it like this. Yahweh. You got to do the in there. Keep going, Logan. No? Okay. I'm just being accurate. You know, I learned that in Bible school. Shut up. Yahweh Rapha. Right? This is what it means. This is what God is saying. I am the existing one who heals you. I am the existing one, your healer. I love this name. Now, God is introducing himself in this way, not just for theological insight. God is introducing himself in this way, not for the sake just so he can be regarded in this way. This isn't just God saying, this is who I am, which is, of course, that's what he's doing, but that's not only what he's doing. What this name is meant to represent is not only God proclaiming who he is, but it's also an invitation for you and I to come and be healed. This is not just God saying, this is who I am, and then you walk away and you do nothing with it. No, this is God saying, this is who I am, and this is who I will be to you. This is an invitation from God today to come and be healed. And if God is the healer, the implication is that there's pain that needs to be healed. Does that make sense? If God is healer, if God is proclaiming himself in this way, and how he communicates himself to humanity, it's meant to point to what is going on in humanity, right? He's not just revealing himself and then it has no correlation or no relation to humanity. No, this is meant to speak to the very need of humanity. And it's not just God saying, this is who I am. This is what I desire to do in your life, your healer. Anybody hate going to the doctor? Yeah, any Christians in the room like me today? Right? Every time I come home and from the gym, I would tell my wife, you know, how was the gym? Oh, the gym was awesome, but I got something going on in my lower back. And you know what she says? You know what she says? Because she's a nurse. You need to go see the doctor. And I'm always the first one that says, no, I don't. Listen, I can just jump on Wikipedia. It can tell me all my diagnosis, okay? And it tell, you know what I mean? I could jump on Wikipedia. I could jump online. I could self-diagnose my, you know. I don't need a doctor. I don't need a doctor, right? And then next, you know, the very pain that I'm complaining about is getting worse and worse. And it's always that I have to wait to the end. And then I have to end up going to the doctor for the very thing that I talked about 5 weeks before. And then my wife's like, I told you so. You idiot. Right? When are you going to listen to me? The reason why I bring that up is a lot of us do that with our own pain today. We just sit on it. We just sit on it. You want to know why? Because pain, it's uncomfortable to admit you have. It's uncomfortable to admit where you are. It's uncomfortable to admit to others what's going on in your life. And so what we'll do, we'll just sit on it. We won't do anything with it. We'll just say over time, it will go away. Right? If I just continuously kill it in this area of my life, pain, it won't be much of a reality anymore. And we realize the longer we've prolonged it, the stronger it has become. Right? The longer we have prolong the pain that we're experiencing emotionally or mentally or relationally or whatever it may be, the stronger that pain has become in our lives. And God, the translation for Rapha, or the definition, I'm sorry, for Rapha, is meant that God is your physician. He's your physician. Just as a skilled doctor diagnoses and treats ailments, God knows your deepest wounds, and he offers restoration to you today. God, he knows your deepest wounds. Other people might not know it. Other people might look at your life because of what you're posting on Facebook and say, their life is going great. Look at what they're posting. Right? But God knows your deepest wounds. And he's not just a God that is very observant. He is full of generosity. He is full of help. He is full of grace. He is full of ability to not just have knowledge of it, but to enter into it and to bring it to fullness and wholeness in your life. See, God's not interested in easing your pain. He's not interested in just easing your pain, making you feel okay about your pain. No, God, in essence, wants to bring you to wholeness and fullness from the very thing that is killing your life, that is killing your soul. God has the ability to heal our deepest burdens. But it begins with us doing this, friends. It begins when you and I, you ready? It begins, the only way God can deal with the deep brokenness of our lives is when you and I cease to pretend. When we stop pretending. Because some of us in this room today, we're going to hear this sermon and say to ourselves, man, I need to give this sermon to someone else. Is this sermon going to be online, Pastor? Because I love to share this with my neighbor because they are messed up. I know how y'all do, right? Every time somebody comes up to me after the sermon, man, love the sermon, man. Is it going to be online? Yeah, it's going to be online. All right, I want to share it with somebody. I'm like, I think you needed it too, bro. Right? Because I need it just as much also in my life. It's us surrendering to God our brokenness, our deepest wounds. It's surrendering to him and it's giving it over to his care. Right? This is why the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your burdens onto him. Why? Because he cares for you, right? See, listen, counselors and therapists and psychiatrists, listen, I'm a huge advocate of them all. Go and see them. Keep seeing them. Some of us, we need to see them weekly, monthly, whatever it may be. But what they're really good at is helping you to know the problem. God's really good at solving the problem. See, what they do, they help you to see what's going on. God's helped you to get to past the finish line. They can help you identify the problem. God is really good at helping you to isolate the problem in your life. This is what this idea that God being a healer in our lives mean. And we find this reality in Exodus 15, one of the most underrated stories in all of the Bible. In Exodus, what we find is the Israelites, the people whom God said through Abraham, what we studied last week, whom God said through Abraham, I will bless and give you a nation. Exodus is that blessing or that promise being fulfilled. And Israel is now a nation. They're living in Egypt. This guy by the name of Joseph got them there. They're living in Egypt. And then next you know, they're growing by the masses to the point where the Egyptians got very jealous and they forced heavy labor and slavery on the Israelites. And they were a part of this for a long, long time. And then God raises his man up by the name of Moses and his brother Aaron. And they go to Pharaoh, who's the most wicked leader at this time. He says, let my people go. And the people are eventually let go. And they're walking. And then next you know, the Egyptians, Pharaoh, they chase after the Israelites. They're chasing after God's people. At this point, it would have been over a million. Well over a million of people. And then we all know the very famous story in Exodus when God parts the Red Sea, right? When God parts the Red Sea, right? The enemies are chasing them. God parted the waters, and all of the Israelites pass on dry ground, right? And as soon as the last person crossed over the dry ground, the Egyptians who are chasing after them, they're pursuing them, but then God brings the waters and God drowns his enemies, their enemies, his enemies, their enemies before them. So Exodus 15 is really the follow-up of what happened at the Red Sea. And the people are worshiping God and the people are celebrating God. And they're like, God came through for us. This is awesome. They're worshiping. They're singing. They're doing all of this stuff. And then we get to Exodus 15, verse 22. Look what it says, Exodus 15, verse 22. It says, then Moses, Israel's leader at the time, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. Now, I need to make a big point about this. The Red Sea was a huge body of water. Massive, right? Pretty big. I mean, like pretty large. They go from the Red Sea. Now listen what happens next. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the desert of Shur. Now, some of your translations may say wilderness, which is fine. That's a fine translation. The one that I read out of and study out of, it uses the word desert. desert hits the point a little bit more. What the author wants each and every one of us to realize is that they went from a place where there was plenty of water, and then they got to a place where there was no water. They went from a place where they had all this water, and then they got to this place called the desert where there's no water. And there's no water. And look how it continues. He said they went to the desert of Shur. For 3 days, they walked in the desert without finding water. How long can you survive without water? 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. All these millions of people who just left the Red Sea, who had plenty of water. They had a lot of water. And now they're in the desert, and now they can't find any water. And it's the third day, and they haven't had water for 3 days. Can you imagine? Can you imagine at that point, the millions of people, the children that were there, the mothers and the fathers and the people that could not find water, right? I find it interesting. It's so funny. They went from praising God to a dilemma. Is that kind of what life is like sometimes? Right, you go from thanking God, and next thing you know, here's a problem. It's like, are you going to continue to thank God? Sometimes we don't. But anyway, look what it says in verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water there because it was bitter. That's a very important word. Probably a better translation would be the water was contaminated. The water was impure. The water was unable to be drunk. Look at what they say. That is why it's named Marah. Verse 24, what do we do when things don't go our way? We like to do what verse 24 does. So the people grumbled. The people complained, right? The people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? And Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log. Probably a better way to say this. The Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast it into the waters were sweetened. The waters were made sweet. What's going on here in this particular passage? Where we see the Israelites, they're in the wilderness. They're in a place where it's painful. They're in a place where they're desperate. They're in a place where they can't see their way forward. But it's actually in this place where there's a great blessing that happens. It's actually in this particular moment where God does something miraculous. And it's not what he does with the waters. It's what he does in their hearts. See, notice how the translation says the waters were bitter. Now, the bitter waters is nothing but a symbolism of their bitter hearts. How do you know? Well, they responded by grumbling. So what was the desert meant to do? The desert was meant, this pain was meant to expose what's going on in their hearts. The pain was meant, the wilderness, it was meant to expose the depths of what's going on in their soul. Yes, they were free from Egypt. They were free from Pharaoh. They were far from that land. They were free from slavery. And God was, the Bible says he was testing them, right? Right? He was testing them. And he wasn't testing them because God didn't know their hearts, because the people themselves didn't know their own hearts. God had brought them to this place to give them a great revelation of what's going on in their hearts. And the water was bitter, but so was their soul. Remember how I said the water was bitter, meaning that it was contaminated, it was corrupt. And God say, well, so is your soul. And the reason why I brought you to a place where the waters is bitter is so that you can have a great inventory of what's going on in the depths of your own soul. See, a lot of us, the reason why I believe this is a very powerful story is that a lot of us don't realize sometimes the Lord brings moments in our lives to expose us. You don't like that, and I get it, right? You don't like that, and that feels uncomfortable. But sometimes things happen, not for the sake because God doesn't know what he's doing, but because God is actually in the business of freeing and saving and healing your soul in a specific way, right? He's exposing what's going on in the depths of your heart. Why does God do that? That feels very mean. Why does God do that? Because left by ourselves, we would never change ourselves. That's why God brings us to these moments where it feels like a wilderness. That's why God brings us to these moments where you feel like you have no water. And with God saying, quit worrying about the water, you need to worry about what's going on in the depths of your heart. Because we all have to have this great reality that God wants to expose us so that he can heal us. Because what's not exposed cannot be healed. What's not exposed cannot be healed. Or another way to say it is, what you don't confront will soon then take control of your life, right? And we all have had moments that have corrupted our souls. We all have had moments that have corrupted our souls. See, a lot of us, we're really good at telling everybody the events of what happened in our lives. But a lot of us aren't really good at explaining the effects of those events that have happened in our lives. You ever notice that? A lot of you'll come up to me and you'll say, my father was never there. That's the event. Or the event of abuse. Or the event of divorce. Or the event of betrayal. Or the event of cancer. We're all talking about these particular events, but none of us don't realize, yes, we live in a world of sin. Yes, we live in a world of sin. But it was those events that actually corrupted the soul. It wasn't the fact that you went through it, but it what was produced and what was created because of what you went through. And God, what does he want to do? He wants to heal the defects of your soul. Because pain exposes our defects. Pain exposes our flaws. Pain shows us there is great healing that is needed from God. Listen, God, when he told Moses to throw the log into the water, he was demonstrating his power that he can sweeten the waters. He can make what was corrupt and pure. He can make what is unproductive to be productive. He can make what is not of good use to good use. And what he's saying is what God had done in the waters, so he wants to do in your soul. So he wants to do in your soul. You know what God wants to do? God wants to heal the defects of your manipulative behavior. So what does he do? He'll bring moments in your life that exposes your manipulation and your narcissism. You know what God wants to do? He wants to heal the defects of you needing to have control over everything and everyone. So what does he do? He brings you the moments in your life where that very defect is exposed. What does God want to do? He wants to heal the phoniness that a lot of us live with. The phoniness where we act like we got it all together. Or when we live in a bed of lies all of our lives. And he wants to heal those very moments. You know what God wants to do? God wants to, and you haven't been doing it, a very good job of addressing it. He wants to heal the anger and the aggression that exists within you. The hate that is in your heart. The frustration that you live with because of what somebody else did. And every time you think about that person, your nose begins to flare. Your mind begins to run, right? Your heart begins to race. And that very defect, God said, what I want to do is I want to bring healing in that place. I'm done playing games, and I'm bringing you to this place so you can be very well aware of what's going on inwardly. I love the AA community, our recovery community. I believe they call this the fearless moral inventory. Am I right? The fearless moral inventory. It's the place where God begins to take a magnifying glass on your heart and say, this shouldn't be there. And what you need is not just for you to be aware of what shouldn't be there, but for God to replace it with his grace, his love, his mercy, his truth, his kindness, his peace, his hope, his personhood, all of who he is. God wants to shine a light so that you can walk in the light. He wants to shine a light in those dark areas so you can finally start walking in the light. So you can stop killing your relationships every time you interact with somebody and then your defects come out more than you would like. So you can stop living so sad every single day. You think God wants us to sit back and say, well, they're just sad. There's nothing we can do about it. No, God says there is healing that needs to happen. And I want you to experience the joy of the Lord because he is joy. He is peace. And he wants to bring that to you each and every day. But in order to experience great joy, God says there must be great healing that has to happen in your life. This is what the Lord wants to do. The waters were sweetened, the bitter waters, because sometimes bitter experiences can produce a bitter heart. Right? What are you bitter about today? What are you bitter about what happened? What are you upset with that someone or something happened? See, a lot of us don't realize that a lot of what God wants to do, he wants to heal the thing you are constantly holding on to. Because a lot of us are holding on to a lot today. I mean, this thing that you're holding on to happened 15 years ago, and it still kills you today. It still kills you today. And God says, there is freedom in the name of Christ, but it happens only by finding it in him. So before we close, I want to wrap this up. And I want to wrap this up with this reality. Where does God need to bring healing into your life today? See, a lot of you might be saying, I don't know. Well, believe me, he wants you to know. A lot of you do know. And believe me, he wants you now to cast it on over. Haven't we spent long enough time holding on to resentment? When are we going to stop? Haven't we spent long enough time hating that person or hating that thing that happened? When is it going to stop? Haven't we spent long enough time holding on to unforgiveness? When is it going to stop? Right? Right? I've told you guys this a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again. God, either you will expose yourself or God will expose you. Right? Either you do the exposing or God will do it for you. Now, why does God do that? Because he loves you. He loves you. He doesn't want you to live life weighted down. He doesn't want you to live your relationships unjoyful. He loves you. And he brings you to a place so that he can shine the light so that you can walk in the light of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would realize that you alone are the Yahweh Rapha. That Jesus in his life proved to be Yahweh Rapha. And I pray today that whether this is our first time or maybe this is the last several times where we can come to you and say, Lord, there are defects of my life. There are the defects of my soul that need to be healed. And I am here offering them up to you because only you can bring great healing. I pray that we see this name, Yahweh Rapha, not just as a name to be studied, but we see it as the invitation directly from you saying, come and be healed. That we see it as, God, you are in the business of making all things whole. That you are in the business of healing the corruptness, the corruption that is happening in the depths of my very being. And we find that by trusting in Jesus Christ. The scripture reminds us that if we confess our sins to him, that he who is faithful and just will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us. The word is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I'm asking you to cleanse me from all that is tainting the soul. I'm asking you for that today. I pray that all these things bring honor and glory to your name. In your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.